and Loki in the giant city. All but a few of the dwellers of Asgard had come to the feast offered by Aegir the Old, the giant king of the sea. Frigga, the queenly wife of Odin, was there, and Frey and Freya, Eyunda, who guarded the apples of youth, Bragi, her husband, Tyr, the great swordsman, and Njord, the god of the sea, Skadi, who wedded Njord and whose hatred for Loki was fierce, and Sif, whose golden hair was once shorn off by Loki, the mischievous, and Thor and Loki were there. The dwellers of Asgard gathered together in the halls of Aegir and waited for Odin. Before Odin came, Loki made the company merry by the tales that he told in mockery of Thor. Loki long since had had his lips unloosened from the thong that the dwarf Brock sewn them with, and Thor had forgotten the wrong that he had done to Sif. Loki had been with Thor in his wanderings through Jotunheim, and about these wanderings he now told mocking tales. He told how he had seen Thor in his chariot of brass, drawn by two goats, go across the Bifrost, the Rainbow Bridge. None of the Æsir or the Vanir knew on what adventures Thor was bent. But Loki followed him, and Thor kept him in his company. As they travelled on the brass chariot drawn by the two goats, Thor told Loki of the adventures in which he was bent. He would go into Jotunheim, even into Utgard, the giant city, and he would try his strength against the giants. He was not afraid of aught that might happen, for he carried Mjolnir, his hammer, with him. Their way was through Midgard, the world of men. Once, as they were travelling on, night came upon them, and they were hungry and in need of shelter. They saw a peasant's hut, and they drove the chariot towards it. Unyoking the goats and leaving them standing in a hollow beside the chariot, the two, looking not like dwellers in Asgard, but like men travelling through the high country, knocked at the door of the hut and asked for food and shelter. They could have shelter, the peasant and his wife told them, but they could not have any food. There was little in that place, and what little was there they had eaten for their supper. The peasant showed them to the inside of the hut. It was poor and bare, and there was nothing there to give anyone. In the morning the peasant said that he would go down to the river and catch some fish for a meal.
"We can't wait until the morning. We must eat now," said Thor, "and I think I can provide a good meal for us all."
He went over to where his goats stood, in the hollow beside the chariot of brass, and striking them with his hammer, he left them lifeless on the ground. He skinned the goats then, and taking up the bones very carefully, he left them down on the skins. Skins and bones he lifted up, and bringing them into the house, he left them in the hole above the peasant's fireplace.
"No one," he said in a commanding voice, "must touch the bones that I leave here."
Then he brought the meat into the house. Soon it was cooking and laid smoking on the table. The peasant and his wife and his son sat around the board with Thor and Loki. They had not eaten plentifully for many days, and now the man and the woman fed themselves well. Thalfi was the name of the peasant's son. He was a growing lad and had an appetite that had not been satisfied for long. While the meat was on the table, his father and mother had kept him going here and there, carrying water and putting the faggots on the fire, and holding a blazing stick so that those at the table might be able to see to eat. There was not much left for him when he was able to sit down, for Thor and Loki had great appetites, and the lad's father and the mother had eaten to make up for days of want. So Thalfi got little out of the plentiful feast. When the meal was finished, they lay down on the benches. Thor, because he had made a long journey that day, slept very soundly. Thalfi lay on a bench too, but his thoughts were all up about food. When all were asleep, he thought that he would take one of the bones that were in the skin above him, and break it and gnaw on it. So, in the dead of night, the lad stood up on the bench and took down the goatskin that Thor had left so carefully there. He took out the bone and broke it, and gnawed it for the marrow. Loki was awake and saw him do this, but he, relishing in the mischief as much as ever, did nothing to stay the lad. He put the bone that he'd broken back into the skin, and he left the skin back into the hole along the fireplace, and then he went to sleep on the bench. In the morning, as soon as they were up, the first thing Thor did was take the skins out of the hole, and he carried them carefully out into the hollow where he had left the goats standing, and he put each goat skin down with its bones in it. He struck each with his hammer, and the goats sprang up alive, horns and hoofs and all. But one was not the way he had been before. He limped badly. Thor examined the leg and found out that one bone was broken. In a terrible anger he turned on the peasants, his wife and his son.
"A bone of this goat has been broken under your roof," he shouted. "For that I should destroy your house and leave you all dead under it."
Thalif wept, and then he came forward and touching the knee of Thor.
"I did not know what harm I did," he said. "I broke the bone."
Thor had his hammer lifted up to crush him into the earth, but he could not bring it down on the weeping boy. He set the hammer to rest on the ground again.
"You will have to do much more service for me, having lamed my goat," he said. "Come with me."
And so the lad Thelfi went with Thor and Loki. Thor took his powerful hands to the shafts of the chariot brass, and he dragged it into lonely mountain hollow, where neither men nor giants came. Then he left the goats in the great empty forest to stay resting there until Thor came to them again. Thor and Loki and the lad Thalfi went across from Midgard to Jotunheim. Because of Mjolnir, the great hammer that he carried, Thor felt safe in the realm of the giants. And Loki, who trusted in his own cunning, felt safe too. The lad Thelfi trusted in Thor so much that he had no fear. They were long in making the journey, and while they were travelling, Thor and Loki trained Thelfi to be a quick and strong lad. One day they came out onto a moor. All day they crossed it, and at night it still stretched far before them. A great wind was blowing, and night was falling, and they saw no shelter near. In the dusk they saw a shape that looked like a mountain, and they made their way to it, hoping to find some shelter in a cave. Loki saw a lower shape that looked like it might be shelter. They walked around it, Loki and Thor and the lad Thalfi. It was a house, but the house was most oddly shaped. The entrance was a long, wide hall with no doorway. When they entered the hall, they found 5 long, narrow chambers running off of it.
"This is an odd place, but it's the best shelter we can get," Loki said. "You and I, Thor, we'll take the longest rooms. The lad Thalfi can take one of the little rooms."
They entered their chambers, and they laid down to sleep. But from the mountain outside there came a noise that was like the moaning of forests and the falling of cataracts. The chamber where each one slept was shaken by the noise. Neither Thor nor Loki nor Thalfi slept that night. In the morning they left their 5-chambered house and turned their faces towards the mountain. It was not the mountain at all, but a giant, and he was laying on the ground where they had saw him. But just then he rolled over and sat up.
"Little man, little man," he shouted down to them, "have you passed by the glove of mine on your way?"
He stood up and looked all around him.
"Ho, I see my glove now," he said.
Thor and Loki and Thalfi stood still as the giant came towards them. He leaned over and he picked up the 5-roomed shelter that they had slept in, and he put it on his hand. It really was his glove. Thor gripped his hammer, and Loki and the lad Thalfi stood behind him, but the giant seemed good-humoured enough.
"Where might you be bound for, little man?" he said.
"To Utgard in Jotunheim," Thor replied boldly.
"Oh, to that place," said the giant. "Come then, I shall be with you so far. You can call me Skymir." "Can you give us breakfast?" said Thor.
He spoke crossly, for he did not want it to appear that there was any reason to be afraid of the giant.
"I can give you breakfast," said Skyrim, "but I don't want to stop to eat now. We'll sit down as soon as I have an appetite. Come along now. Here's my wallet to carry. It has my provisions in it."
And he gave Thor his wallet. Thor put it on his back, and put Thalfi sitting upon it, and on the giant strode, and Thor and Loki were barely able to keep up with him. It was midday before he showed any signs of halting to take his breakfast. They came to an enormous tree. Under it Skyrim sat down.
"I'll sleep before I eat," he said, "but you can open my wallet, little man, and make your meal out of it."
Saying this, he stretched himself out, and in a few minutes Thor and Loki and the lad Thalfi heard the same sounds as kept them awake the night before, the sounds that were like the forest moaning and the cataracts falling. It was Skyrim snoring. Thor and Loki and the lad Thalfi were too hungry now to be disturbed by this tremendous noises. Thor tried to open the wallet, but he found that it was not easy to undo the knots. Then Loki tried to open it, and in spite of all of Loki's cunning, he could not undo the knots. Then Thor took the wallet from him, and he tried to break open the knots by main strength, but not even Thor's strength could break them. He threw the wallet down in rage. The snoring Skyrim became louder and louder. Thor stood up in his rage, and he grasped Mjolnir, and he flung it at the head of the sleeping giant. The hammer struck him on the head, but Skyrim only stirred in his sleep.
"Did a leaf fall on my head?" he said.
He turned around to the other side and went to sleep again. The hammer came back to Thor's hand, and as soon as Skyrim snored, he flung it again, aiming at the giant's forehead. It struck him there, and the giant opened his eyes.
"Has an acorn fallen on my head?" he said.
And again he went to sleep. But now Thor, terribly aroused, stood up over his head with his hammer held in his hands, and he struck him on the forehead. It was the greatest blow that Thor had ever dealt.
"A bird is picking on my forehead. There's no chance to sleep here," said Skyrim, sitting up. "And you, little man, did ye have your breakfast yet? Toss over me wallet, and I shall give you some provisions."
The lad Talfi brought him the wallet, and Skyrim opened it and took out his provisions. He gave a share to Thor and to Loki and to the lad Talfi. Thor would not take the provisions from him, but Loki and the lad Talfi took it and ate. When the meal was finished, Skyrim rose up and said,
"Time for us to be going towards Utgard."
And as they went on their way, Skyrim talked to Loki.
"I always feel a little small when I go to Utgard," he said. "You see, I'm such a small and weak fellow, and the folk who live there are so big and powerful. You and your friends will be welcomed in Utgard. They will be sure to make little pets of you."
And then he left them, and they went on their way to Utgard, the city of the giants.
This podcast was created under the Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 license. Music, A Viking's Tale, was downloaded from Shutterstock and is performed by Zeonium.